I cannot fully express to you the joy that I have in coming to Westwood Hill. My mind is full of memories. Martin said he's an old friend. Well, I am an old friend. I'll be 83 this year. And God has been so kind to Kathy and I and given us a long life, 58 years married and serving the Lord for over 50 years. Many years we have been coming to this church. And when I look at Martin and look at his skill in singing, he took that off his father, Jim Leckie. He used to come to the wee village of Forth when we had a senior citizens' evening, and he used to sing. It was a baritone voice he had. He was a beautiful singer, even better than Martin. The Leckie family, so many different families. For me, it's been an awesome privilege and pleasure to be friends with Negi and Nashua. Friends in this church, so many that are dear to us. And so I come today humbled by the fact that you've still invited me at nearly 83, because I don't do as much preaching now as I used to. I do short preaching. I do a little video every 2 months, just produce one on Friday past. It's on YouTube, John Spears, Evangelist, Bible Teacher. The title of the video on Friday was The Darkest Hour. And if you can look it up, and Neil Smith here in this church is one of the most loyal video watchers for me, and he always sends an email. And so I come this morning to preach the gospel. And I want to just say that looking back over the past week or two, we've witnessed in this little nation of ours such excitement because we had arrived at the World Cup. Thousands and thousands of people, I don't know where the cost of living comes in, but thousands of them have gone to America at great expense and with great anticipation and hope. But after the initial games, they've come home disappointed, hugely disappointed, because we were sent home packing with our cases and not into the second round. So my message this morning is entitled Disappointment. I want to speak on disappointment. It's a reality and an emotion in life that we've all experienced. You think about a 17-year-old waiting in August for the brown envelope and hoping that they'll get all that they've sat, and they open it up and discover they haven't achieved the results that they wanted. Their heart filled with disappointment. Now, many others will be filled with euphoria, but for some, it's disappointment. In life, in many different circumstances, disappointment is a reality. For example, in regards to health, when the doctor has to say with these sad words, "I'm sorry, we've tried the treatment, but there's no hope." What disappointment fills someone's heart? On a little personal note, when I was 51 years of age, I was in hospital, and the doctor in Law Hospital said, "I hope it's not cancer." It was tuberculosis. I had TB. And I remember going into the little hospital at Udston, and the doctor tells me that you'll be here for a good many months. But he said, "We'll send you for a scan to see just how things are developed." So I prayed, "Lord, will you do a miracle? And when this scan is taken, the TB will be completely gone. And the doctor will be surprised. God will have worked a miracle." And when I came back after the scan, the doctor said, "I have to tell you, Mr. Spears, no change. You'll just be here for a few more months. I was disappointed. That is life for many people. Perhaps you've had the experience where you've applied for a job and you've got the letter that says, I'm sorry, you've been unsuccessful. Disappointment. It comes to us all in many different ways. So I want to preach a little from a passage in the Bible where there was a couple, husband and wife, who were disappointed. The story is told in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 24. Let me just read some of the verses, and then I'll read other verses in the same story later on in the message. We're going to commence reading from verse 13. Verse 13 of Luke 24. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking. They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Now we'll pause there and we'll come back to the story. I want very simply to structure this little message on 3 points. I want to say a little about the cause of their disappointment. What was the cause? Then I want to think too about the consequences of disappointment. But I want to finish with the cure for disappointment. This couple had their disappointment completely overturned when we read the rest of the passage. The cause for their disappointment. It says two of Jesus' followers, a husband and wife, making their way home from Jerusalem to Nazareth, a village 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's interesting just to catch who this couple was. It says Cleopas or Cleopas. It must have been his wife that he was walking. But it is interesting to note in John 19 that the wife of Cleopas, Mary, was at the cross. She was an eyewitness to all that had taken place when Jesus was dying. And so you can imagine her awareness of the events that had taken place 3 days previously. It would appear, because the word is used, they were discussing intently. There was an intense discussion between the two of them as they reflected. Their heads, as well as their hearts, were so full of all that had taken place. Their emotions, I think, were shot through. Their hopes were dashed. "We had hoped that he was the Messiah." Most of us live in many ways through life hoping. Sometimes our hopes are dashed. Not only were their hopes dashed, their hearts were broken. That's obvious as they engaged in conversation. "We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue." And they somehow report to Jesus the events as they saw them. "He was handed over," they said, "by the religious leaders to be condemned to death. And they crucified him." Oh, how it must have come back into the mind of Mary, the scene of the cross that she witnessed firsthand. They crucified him. Their hope for freedom from the Roman power that was occupying Israel was dashed. They had hoped that they would be as a nation delivered. How many times in life have you and I had our hopes dashed, our hearts broken, when someone we think, humanly speaking, was too young to die? The death of someone can have such an emotional impact and leave us deep down with disappointment. I met Willie Ashwood the other day in the Glow car park. Every time in life that I've seen Willie, the Ashwood family have always been close to me. I think about Willie's brother Jack. He was one of my closest friends. I have never forgotten how suddenly and unexpected his death took place. He was 38 years of age. I took part in his funeral. Disappointed? Yes. Humanly speaking, yes. Have you been there? A husband, a wife, a family member, a very close friend, and their death has caused disappointment in your life. Too young to die. Death robs us of relationships in life. If we had to study this morning in detail a wonderful passage in the Bible, in Romans chapter 5, we would discover the cause, the real cause for disappointment. Because that passage teaches that the first man, Adam, he sinned. And he passed that sin on to every one of us. And death came as a result of sin. God said to Adam in the garden, the day you sin, you will die. And the cause of death is sin. That's the root cause of disappointment. We were born sinners. The cause of death to every one of us and our families is sin. That's the cause for disappointment. Secondly, let me think about the consequences of disappointment. In verse 17, it says, sadness written across their faces. You know, I have always been a great person to discover what people are feeling like by just looking at their face. The facial expression tells you what's going on in the heart. That's what the Proverbs tell us. And so you don't need to have anybody speak to tell you they're sad. You just need to look at their face. And that tells you a volume. And so this couple, Jesus could see sadness written all over their face. That was one of the consequences, disappointment. But in verse 21 of the passage, not only was there sadness, hope was lost. Hope was lost. No sadder word for a doctor to say to a patient, no hope. I remember many years ago, my brother Andrew used to be in the police, and he recounted once an occasion where he was involved with a police car, and he was helping communicate. A fellow on a motorcycle had been badly injured, took him to Law Hospital, and they said there after examination, we can't do anything for this fellow. There is only one hope. Take him to Killearn Hospital, who specialise in brain injuries. And so the police escort took him from Law to Killearn. And going from one hope, being examined at Killearn, they had to conclude, sorry, no hope, no hope. Oh, how sad are these words when it comes to Jesus had drawn near. It's an amazing story, where he was just walking along with them. It says God kept them from recognizing Jesus. So actually, they were in conversation, in deep conversation, with what they thought was a stranger. I don't know about you, but I've found it fascinating in life that you can engage with people in whatever situation you can be in, and people can tell you their life story, and you've never met them in their life before. Strangers engage quickly if there's something on their heart to share. And so this couple did that. They went over the immediate events. It was so pressing on their mind. The arrest of Jesus, the trial of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the abuse and torture he suffered. Death is so consuming. The depth of their sadness could not be measured as Jesus perceived and listened to them recall the details of himself. It's an amazing fact. You see, there's a parallel here, if I could just use it. Like this couple, there are thousands of people walking through life today, blind to who Jesus is, unaware of who he is. Oh, that God would open your eyes this morning that you might see the Son of God and who he really is. So the consequences of disappointment, sadness, and the lack of hope. But I want, because I'm a short preacher these days, I don't preach long, the cure for disappointment. This couple, they said, we've got a report from women who had visited the tomb. His body was missing. His body was missing. Angels said, Jesus is alive. The ministry of angels is another topic for one of my videos. It's a fascinating study in the Bible, the ministry of angels. And the angels carried the news of the resurrection of Jesus. And then Jesus began to have a Bible study. Outside, walking on the road to Emmaus, he has one of the most fascinating Bible studies that they'd ever had. And they knew their Old Testament. This couple were Jews. And Jesus began from the beginning of the Bible throughout the prophets and the Psalms. And he began to unfold to them the story of Jesus and the story of the cross. Can you imagine how Jesus unfolded Isaiah 53? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And Jesus is the lamb. What a study for this couple to hear. Time passed so quickly, they never thought for a minute how quickly they had arrived at Emmaus. And so, the cure for disappointment is in the Bible. And this couple had their disappointment turned to joy, inward joy that spilled over as they chatted. Because out of kindness and generosity, they said to Jesus, the stranger, why don't you have supper with us? In fact, why don't you spend the night with us? We'll offer you a bed. And Jesus accepted it. Oh, how wise it is to accept, says the book of Hebrews, entertain strangers unawares. You might be entertaining someone really special. And so they took him to supper. The lady had a rushed preparation for supper. They sat down. And Jesus gave the grace. Can I ask, do you give thanks to God every time you sit down to have a meal? And in the midst of that meal, their eyes were opened. They realized and recognized the man that they were sitting with was Jesus. Oh, how special, how precious. Recognized them. Their disappointment suddenly vanished, and so did Jesus. It says he disappeared out of their sight. With his new body, he is capable of leaving a room or entering a room that would have been otherwise locked. The resurrection of Jesus is the cure for disappointment. This morning, to know Jesus and to recognize him for who he is, it enables us to be free from disappointment. You may be living with some measure of disappointment in life because of you've lost a husband, you've lost a son or a daughter. But my friend, if you're a Christian and you've trusted Christ for salvation through his work at the cross, one day you will see your loved one again. I will see my father and mother, and Kathy will see her father and mother because of the resurrection. If I were a singer, I would have sung a song to you this morning. But many years ago, my brother said, "You stick to the preaching, John. You're not a singer." But way back in the days of Forth, Cathy and I were brought up in a little village, very special village. Some important men and women were born in Forth. You might not know it, but Willie Waddle of the Rangers was born in the Forth. And there were others. Cassandra Russell was born in the Forth, although she belongs to East Kilbride now. But in these days at Forth, from the Redemption Hymn Book, we used to sing a great song. I wonder how many of you know it. He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I had fancied he could be. And the more I get to know him, so the more I find him true, and the more I long that others should be led to know him too. Now, the brilliant boys at the back, who screwed up Martin when he was singing this morning earlier, they're organized. And I would like you just to sit back and listen to that song. If they've found it on YouTube or wherever they've found it, let's hear it, boys. He is not a disappointment. Heard nodding, who said that's enough. But how many people knew that? A handful of the older stagers. Thank you for coming this morning. In God's grace, and because of Paul, I'm invited to come back next week. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I trust that as we go home, I was so blessed hearing our brother tell about his run in Norway and how much money has been raised for the hospice. We have a particular interest in that hospice as well as you have, because one of our members in Selkirk Street is a nurse there, Christine O'Neill. And so we often hear about the good work that's been going on in the hospice. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. There may be a work going on at this moment in time in someone's heart. It may be you're sitting this morning and there never has been a real moment when you accepted Christ for salvation. Your eyes have been blind. Oh, that your eyes, the spiritual eyes of your heart, may be open this morning to see Jesus and to recognize that he died for you on the cross. And that if you confess and repent of your sin, he will save you forever. Father, thank you for the joy for me to preach here at Westwood Hill. May this little stammering word reach someone's heart and that they would this morning find Christ for salvation. Bless everyone as we go home, and may this week be a week of the Lord's blessing in our life, for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you would be interested in talking to me about anything I've said, I'll be around the foyer. Willie and Francis will look after Cathy until I'm free. So don't hesitate to come and talk to me. Thank you, Martin.